The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and in the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
George Washington was quoted as saying, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles." Almighty God, on this President's Day, we are mindful that you led the minds, hearts, and spirits of those who fought for and formulated the Constitution and its principles that would bring forth a new nation. Their acknowledging of your guidance in their lives and their willingness to embrace the need of religious principles to guide the nation has continued to help us in our deliberations and the laws we pass. We are grateful that you have set down in your word what is needful by us, so we too might be faithful and connected to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We're off. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibla, Munflinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the 23rd. Senator from 23rd is here. Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 25th day, Thursday, February 16th, 2017.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion the motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise? Senator from the 13th, I'm sorry. Senator from the 13th.
Mr. President, introduction of some very special guests.
You may proceed.
Mr. President, they have this up there already. Mr. President, on your left and my right, I have three guests today. I have Mrs. Betty Wheeler, and I lived across the street from Betty for over 45 years. And do you know, Mr. President, I'm probably responsible for buying at least four mailboxes for her address and the one next door to her when I was learning to drive. But she is up here today with her daughter, Christine, and her grandson, Brandon Wheeler. Brandon is being recognized as an Eagle Scout. And in his project, he supervised and oversaw the manufacturing of 30 birdhouses to be donated to the Wild Bird Sanctuary in southern part of St. Louis County. And I ask that the body make them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the 13th please rise and be welcomed by the Missouri Senate? Introduction of guests. Senator from Cole. Purpose to rise.
Thank you, Mr. President. That was a very wise decision. Mr. President, I'm pleased to introduce a nice young lady who is using part of her President's Day holiday as a day off from school to job shadow the Missouri Senate. I'd ask that Haley Braun please stand. Haley is a sophomore at Calvary Lutheran High School here in Cole County. She's very much involved in student government, the Key Club, the Students Against Destructive Decisions, SAD, Mr. President, Future Teachers of America, and Select Choir. Haley also plays softball and basketball. In fact, Mr. President, Haley and her Calvary Lutheran Lady Lions are playing district basketball tonight at 9 p.m. in Sturgeon, Missouri, Mr. President. Please join me in welcoming Haley to the Missouri State Senate.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Center from Cole. Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, may I inquire of you?
You may.
Mr. President, was there ever a time in your former career that you ever played baseball?
I did.
Where you were a pitcher?
I was not.
That looked like a curveball.
Senator, introduction again.
I just appear that you had the motion of a curveball. You threw me there, Mr. President. But I do have some very special guests that I'd like to introduce. Today, I have some folks that have traveled up here to also recognize an Eagle Scout, and it is the Knotts family. Don, his wife Laura, his son Aaron, which is the Eagle Scout, Sam, Isaiah, and Wayne and Mary Schaefer. And I would love for the body to make them feel welcome today.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator from Franklin today to the Missouri Chamber. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
I have two bills, Mr. President.
Please send your two bills forward. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 437, introduced by Senator Holzman, an act relating to the use of voting machines by blind or visually impaired voters.
Senator from the 7th.
No explanation necessary on that.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill No.
There is no flash photography allowed in the chamber or the upper galleries. No flash photography is allowed in the chamber or the upper galleries. Madam Secretary, you may continue.
Senate Bill number 438, introduced by Senator Holzman, an act relating to the designation of February as Earthquake Awareness Month.
Senator, you care to explain?
Thank you, Mr. President. Over the weekend, I read an article where Governor Greitens had declared February Earthquake Awareness Month, and many in the body may not know, but it was 1811 and 1812 when New Madrid had its three earthquakes. The highest one on February 6th in 1812 registered somewhere between 7.5 and 7.9. The reports of that day were that there were retrograde in the Mississippi River, which meant that it physically ran backwards, and that was in 1812. So by my calculations, 205 years, we are getting ready to have some more seismic activity in that area, and I think that the more awareness that we have, the better prepared we're going to be. And so I support the governor in his making February Earthquake Awareness Month, and I file this bill to do so officially. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. Senator from Callaway.
And I have a bill, one bill.
Please send your one bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 439, introduced by Senator Riddle, an act relating to disabled veteran license plates.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rest?
President, I have a bill and no explanation at this time.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 440, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to engineering equipment grants at the University of Missouri.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills to introduce.
Please send your two bills forward.
No explanation is required.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 441, introduced by Senator Hageman, an act relating to school employee retirement systems.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 442, introduced by Senator Hageman, an act relating to political subdivisions.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 14th.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 443, introduced by Senator Chappelle Nadal, an act relating to the statute of limitations for certain claims under workers' compensation laws.
Senator from the 14th.
Yes, Mr. President, as I have discovered in a very long journey of understanding radioactive waste, if you are an adult and you are exposed to radioactive waste, it could take anywhere from 20 to 30 years to get cancer as a result of that radioactive waste exposure. What I am trying to do is create an exemption for those employees instead of them relying on the federal government or their state because of their exposure while working in an environment that is contaminated. This is an opportunity for them to go to their employer that was responsible for them being exposed to radioactive waste in the first place.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Boone, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, the wisdom of you last is significant. I have four bills.
The freshman senator from Boone, if I understand correctly, has four bills. Would that be correct, Senator?
Yes, sir, and I would not even dare think about explaining them, so no explanation is required.
Good. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 444, introduced by Senator Rowden, an act relating to tax incentives for first-time home buyers.
Madam Secretary, read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 445, introduced by Senator Rowden, an act relating to fantasy sports.
Madam Secretary, please read the third bill.
Senate Bill number 446, introduced by Senator Rowden, an act relating to dogs.
Madam Secretary, please read the fourth and final bill from the freshman senator from Boone.
Senate Bill number 447, introduced by Senator Rowden, an act relating to the Division of Professional Registration.
Introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from Newton.
Please refer Senate Concurrent Resolution 18 to Joint Rules, the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolution Ethics.
It will be referred. Introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, would you ask them to please be read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, would you please read the messages?
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 57, entitled An Act Relating to Penalty Enhancements for Certain Offenses. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bills 302 and 228, entitled An Act Relating to Law Enforcement Officers. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 230, entitled An Act Relating to the Board of Cosmetology and Barber Examiners. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 126, entitled An Act Relating to Public Contracts, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, and I'd ask that you call the calendar.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill 113, Senator from Franklin with Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 113 with Senate Committee Substitutes be taken up for perfection.
Senator from Franklin moves that Senate Bill number 113 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for perfection. As many as opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. Senator, do you care to make the adoption?
Mr. President, I would move that Senate Committee Substitute be adopted, and I do have a Senate substitute, and I will send it forward. I move for a waiver reading, and it has been distributed.
Do you care to explain the substitute, Senator?
I will, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 113 began as a fix for the Templemeyer versus W&M Welding decision that lowered the standard for discrimination claims related to workers' comp by overturning decades of case law. This decision has placed employers in peril, and we need to give the courts better guidance in order to restore the balance to work comp proceedings. I have also, in the substitute, added three components from Senate Bill 290, another work comp reform bill that has passed committee. The Senate substitute and research summary is before you, but I will briefly explain the changes. In Section 287.120, related to drugs, currently a worker will have their compensation reduced by 50% if an injury was sustained in conjunction with using alcohol or drugs. This change clarifies in conjunction with to include testing positive for illegal drugs or non-prescribed drugs within 48 hours of the accident. Section 287.140, the reactivation of claims. This change simply states that a claim cannot be reopened once an employee has explicitly agreed that the claim cannot be reopened. And in Section 287.170, termination of payments, If an employee voluntarily quits while work that is in compliance with their medical condition is being offered by the employer, then that employee will not be qualified to receive temporary partial disability nor temporary total disability payments. In Section 287.780, the discrimination or discharge, the original Templemeyer-related part of Senate Bill 113 required that proof be given that the employer who terminated the employee did so because of the employee filed a work comp claim. This has changed from the committee substitute motivating factor language because we were unaware of a Supreme Court decision, the Rittenour decision, that essentially claimed that the motivating factor and contributing factor are the same claim, same thing. We must have a stronger standard than contributing to avoid frivolous claims. And so that was the cause of changing that to because of. So Missouri has suffered from this activism in the area of work comp for many years, and this legislature has been largely blocked from acting as a check to the judicial overreach in recent years. I believe now we have an opportunity to reform some of these policies to give employers more certainty as they seek to expand their operations while continuing to provide protection that injured workers have and always expected from this system.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the Senate Bill 13? Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield from inquiry from the senator from the first?
I do.
You know what, Senator, I understand the senator from Lewis. We have three on the floor.
Three senators standing. Senator from Lewis, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Every year we host the 4-H Legislative Academy and their delegates here in the Capitol. And today is the day that we have with us the 2017 4-H Legislative Academy delegates. And it's my pleasure to introduce them. Today we have Matthew Bipes, Shane Carroll, Madeline Dirks, Alyssa Engelman, Rachel Grubbs, Kyle Hansen, Anna Link, Emily McCann, Reed Niemeyer, Mikkel Norris, Ashlyn Peterson, Hannah Rockers, Abby Schmidt, Heather Snow, and Laura Wright on behalf of senators from the 31st, the 12th, the 21st, the 2nd, the 10th, the 32nd, the 19th, 29th, 34th, 27th, and District 20, as well as my own district. And with that, I'd like the body to make them feel very welcome. And, Mr. President, you know, be proud of me because I didn't mention any other senators' names. I did their districts.
You did good, Senator. Let's please welcome the guests from the Senator from Lewis here in the chamber today. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, so if I heard your introduction right, is there a floor substitute on this bill, a Senate substitute?
Yes, there is.
Gosh, what does that look like? Because I sure don't have it on my desk.
It should have been distributed. I do.
Well, I sure don't have it, Senator. And I've got to tell you, I'm a bit perplexed about that. I don't know if anybody else here has seen it, but I'd sure like to get a copy. And I don't know. I'd be curious, you know, for other members of the body who are listening, if you've got it. Fair enough. If you don't, then I'm thinking maybe it just hasn't been distributed. Well, Senator from the 34th has one. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. So thank you, Senator. And I would just ask senators, if you don't have this thing, I think the senator from the 13th may have it as well. For some reason, I didn't get it. So
Senator,
here we are.
First,
yes, Mr. President.
Would you like for that to be read? Redistributed.
I mean, am I the only one? Thank you. Now I've got two copies. We'll take it. Senator, I have not had a chance to read this because I had not laid eyes on it until just now. And candidly, I mean, I had a little bit to discuss on the original committee substitute, which is one paragraph long, this substitute, which is 0.07F, apparently now runs 15 pages long. So I guess my threshold question is, why does this bill need to go from one paragraph to 15 pages?
We did, in my explanation, we added some of the components of Senate Bill 290 that dealt with the illegal drugs, reactivation of claims, and termination of payments.
Okay.
Was what we added to the substitute. Again, that has been passed out of committee, but obviously we felt this was a vehicle that could carry those measures as well. So not only were we originally addressing the Templemeyer situation, we had brought these up in Senate Bill 290 and added them to that in our committee, or the substitute, Senate substitute.
All right, and I know it looks like there's a couple of other provisions on that, and frankly, I think some others are probably going to need a little bit of time to get their arms around what that does for or to folks. But,
Senator from the first.
Yes, Mr. President.
If I may interrupt for just a second.
Sure.
You did ask for it to be redistributed. Are you still wanting that done? Evidently, it had been distributed. My understanding was it was distributed.
Yeah, Mr. President, it was not distributed to me. I now have two copies, which is one more than I need. I'm not asking for redistribution at this time. However, if there are other members who, like me, somehow didn't get a copy, I would encourage you to let the folks know who circulate that it be
all right. Thank you,
best to have a copy of it. So thank you, Mr. President. So obviously the crux of the bill and what it started with was a change in the standard. So we started with exclusive cause. The committee sub said motivating factor.
Right.
And now somewhere in here we talk about a third standard, or where's the standard in the substitute?
The standard that was changed to because of was changed because of a court case.
Yeah, what is that court case?
The Rittenour decision.
Rittenour? Okay.
Rittenour, yes.
And do you happen to have the site or the plaintiff name in that?
I'm looking here, but I basically what it determined that motivating factor, actually the language in the Rittenour case, it says, given the similarity between the definitions for motivating and contributing, they were not persuaded by Rittenour's attempt to convince us that voting factor is a higher threshold. So it's not a higher threshold. It's basically at the same level.
I got to tell you, until I lay eyes on that, the text of that opinion myself, and I'm going to pull it. It was Rittenour. And do you have the citation? It'd be Southwest 3rd, probably.
You could look right here. I have if this would help you to look at this.
Yeah, it looks like it's McBride versus Rittenour. Okay. I'm going to pull that decision and see, and I'm also going to shepherdize it because I noticed that that's a 2006 decision, which first and foremost would suggest that this isn't anything we haven't known about for 11 years. And I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that there's a chance that it has been commented on by some other court in our state in the 11 years since it was handed down. And, you know, it looks like that might be an Eastern District Court of Appeals decision, which of course would be overridden by anything that our Supreme Court has done since. So I'm going to, frankly, need to take a look at that. But I can't, I mean, I got to read the decision, but it sure doesn't sound likely to me that a court would say motivating equals contributing. I mean, after all, on Senate Bill 45, or 43 rather, which goes to the employment discrimination standard, I mean, a lot of the fight is motivating versus contributing, and that's a concern. And frankly, because 43 is in this building, part of my concern here is this bill with respect to the standard becomes less about just the workers' comp context and much more about 43 in that context, because feel free to disagree, but, I mean, do you envision a scenario where we put one standard in workers' comp, say exclusive cause or because of, and then we turn around in 43 and go with motivating? I mean, I don't have to imagine too hard to think that the senator from the third might want to stick to because of or exclusive cause if we're doing it here, don't you think?
Well, that could probably, you know.
Not crazy talk.
It's not a crazy thought.
Yeah. So we're really, in effect, talking about not just this bill, but really at least two bills here. Well, and three, given that we're talking about 290. So I know that I know that there's a member of the body who, unlike me, apparently had this in advance and actually has already prepared an amendment for the floor substitute that I just saw for the first time 5 minutes ago. So I might allow that, Senator, since he's apparently ahead of the curve, get to that, and then we'll see what else we want to do on this, Senator. Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has the amendment been distributed?
It has not been distributed. It is short and may be read.
Okay. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Schaaf, amend Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 113, Section 287.120, pages 1 through 5, by striking said section.
Senator, do you move for the adoption of the amendment?
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Basically, what it does, it eliminates the bold text on page 4, regarding the positive test for drugs 48 hours after the injury. Basically, what we're doing here is we're saying that you can be injured on Saturday, and if you have the blood test on Monday and it shows drug in your system, that it's a presumption that the drug was in your system on Saturday. That's just wrong for us to do that. In committee, we heard an example of a person who gets injured. Let's say they sprain their ankle. So this person sprains his or her ankle. You know, the nature of ankle sprains is that they don't hurt right away. What happens is the swelling kind of starts, your leg is down, it starts hurting. After a while, the pain increases. You go home, you're walking on it, and your wife or your family member has some pain pills. And you go, I better take one of those to get me through until I can see the doc tomorrow. So you take a pain pill. Bam, 2 days later, you have a positive blood test. In my opinion, it's just outrageous to make it a rebuttable presumption that the drug was in your system at the time of the injury. I mean, how about making the law so that it's 1 hour after the injury or immediately after the injury, but not 2 days after the injury? And so I would just like to have the body vote on this. Just like if we, the Senate, feel that you should be able to have this blood test 2 days later, let's vote on this. And if the body feels this way, fine. I'm not going to like filibuster the bill over this. But this is something that we ought to agree on as a Senate. So I would just ask that if I could get five members standing, I would like to see a roll call on this. Just if I could get five members to stand to just have a roll call on this. No?
Senator, you do not have five members standing.
Mr. President, I'm just amazed that my colleagues would not give me a roll call on such an important thing. Let's just say that it's your child, your family member, and they get injured and they go home, and let's just say your brother or your sister or your mother has some, let's just say, a mild painkiller, and you say, okay, I'm take it. It's not oxycodone, it's like Darvocet or something. And you take it, and they're going to make you prove that you took this drug after the injury. Thereby, you're going to have to throw your family member under the bus in order to show this preponderance of evidence. And if you don't do it, your settlement gets reduced by 50%. 50% under this section. You know, that's just outrageous. 48 hours is a long, long time. And so, Mr. President, I would just ask one more time. If I could just get some other members standing to give me a roll call on this, that's all I'm asking for. 5 members to stand and give me a roll call. That's all I'm asking for.
Senator, you do not.
Wait, I think I do.
Senator, you do have 5 members standing. A roll call.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield? The senator from Franklin.
Yes, I do.
Senator from Franklin, you may proceed.
When it says a preponderance of the evidence standard shall apply to rebut such presumption, what do you suppose that means?
Well, I suppose that if there's a jury listening...
There will be an administrative law judge. This would go before an administrative law judge. If there's going to be a reduction in benefits, it has to go before an administrative law judge. And so they would have the ability to rebut such presumption in front of an administrative law judge.
Okay, so what you have is on the one side, you have a drug test that the employer says, here's a drug test that shows that he had this pain pill in his system. Okay, so the preponderance means to me, and I'm not an attorney, but it would mean that you would have to have more evidence that you did not have it in your system at the time. Now the thing is, they've already got the drug test that was taken 48 hours later.
Well, let me explain a little bit of reason why 48 hours, I believe, is necessary.
Well,
let me play out a scenario for you.
You asked me what I thought about the preponderance of the evidence.
I did, okay.
So I would think it would have to be that you would have to show something that would say, no, I did not have it, which means that you would have to say, well, I took the pill the next evening because my body part started hurting. And you're not going to want to do that, because if you do that, you are telling the court or the administrative law judge that this person gave me their medication, my wife, my daughter, my son, my sister.
Is that illegal?
They're not going to want to do that.
Is that illegal to do that, though?
They're not going to want to do that.
I asked this as a question. Is it illegal for me to take a medication that's prescribed to my wife?
Yes, but you know, it may be illegal, but it's probably
commonly
done.
It may be, or no, it's not illegal.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. If it was late at night and you had some pain pills from a previous dental surgery and your wife was hurting, and even though it's illegal, would you give her one?
What was the question again? What was that?
Okay.
If I had some...
Sorry, say it again. Okay. Let's just say that your spouse was injured and your spouse was having pain and you yourself had some pain pills left over from a dental visit a year ago.
Okay.
And they're in your medicine cabinet. And it was late at night. The alternative is to go to the emergency room, go to urgent care. Would you give her a pain pill to get her through?
Probably wouldn't necessarily need my permission if she wanted to go in there and retrieve one, I wouldn't think.
Well, but the thing is, that would be illegal, right?
I don't know that it would be illegal.
Well, don't you think that she would ask you? Well, see, Let me just tell you, it is illegal. It is illegal for you to give your controlled substance to another one. In fact, it says right on the label, the legend, it is against federal law to transfer this medication to a person for whom it's not prescribed. Something like that. It says it on every prescription. Now, especially a controlled substance. So the question is, if she asked you, would you do it? And if you did, do you think she would throw you under the bus and tell the court that?
I'm not sure she might.
I don't think she would. She's not going to do it. And when it comes time to have the preponderance of the evidence, it's not going to be there for her. I mean, we're talking about doing things 48 hours after the fact, Senator.
Can I explain the 48 hours to you? Then this is my inquiry. Let me explain the need for 48 hours. If you have a worker, that obviously there are policies in place that most places that have businesses have policies in place that you need to report the incident of an injury. At that point, if you are an employee and you sprained your ankle or you tweaked your elbow or whatever you may have done that afternoon and you fail to report it to your supervision, but then later on throughout that night you decided, okay, I've tweaked my elbow at this point. You haven't given your employer notification as to, at least at that point, be able to send you and have a drug test. So on Friday evening, as you've gone home and all of a sudden now you have this elbow that's causing you a problem, or your knee or whatever, your back, then once you report that on Monday, that is going to be at minimum 48 hours, probably from the time that it occurred, before I can send you for a drug test.
So what I'm saying, Senator, is this oughtn't to be in law. I'm just saying, you can't, not everything is perfect. And have you ever, because I have, have you ever had a back injury such that you strained your back lifting something and it didn't start hurting until like the next day?
Absolutely.
And have you ever like sprained your ankle and you didn't even realize it until the next day and you can like wake up and you can hardly walk on it? Well, this is exactly what I'm saying. If these things happen to you and somebody in the family has got a narcotic pain pill and you take it, bam, you have probably just cost yourself 50% of your settlement.
Not necessarily, because again, you would go, even if you didn't throw your wife under the bus, you would go before an administrative and law judge, you would present the case that obviously you had medication and you took that medication, and that the administrative law judge would make the determination as to whether or not he believed you to be valid before he would cut your benefits by 50%. Again, I want you to be reminded that this individual, whatever medical costs that they have incurred at the time, they're going to be made 100% whole at that point. That's not what we're talking about cutting in benefits in half. It would only be a settlement in the event that there was a settlement for disfigurement or loss of body use of that part or whatever. Would there be an opportunity to reduce that by 50%?
Well, but it's within the realm of possibility that you could get hurt on Friday evening.
Well, it's not really in the realm of possibility when we're talking. I think that the reality is, I mean, yeah, that could occur. But the reality is, again, when we're talking about someone that's going to receive a settlement, it's going to be some sort of an injury that's going to be very impactful that needs to be reported immediately.
Hey,
but if you have that time frame to where if you could, what I would be concerned is that an individual would, if they were on drugs, if they were taking illegal drugs, they would just wait the 48 hours. That they would just wait 48 hours to report. And I can promise you what occurs, what would happen is the employer would still be bound to provide work comp and or whatever remedy the courts would allow.
Now, I understand that point, but it assumes that the person knows this rule. And if they don't know, then they go home, they take a pill, they go back to work, they say, oh, you know, I really injured my back. Let's say they fractured it. You have them run into the hospital, they do a blood test, bam. I mean, I understand that one of our fellow senators would like to introduce a guest. So that's okay with
that's
me.
That's okay.
So
we could allow that to occur.
Yes. Yes are important.
Yes are definitely important.
Three senators standing. Senator from the ninth, what purpose do you rise?
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'd like to seek unanimous consent to introduce a special guest, please.
Hearing no objection, you may proceed.
Thank you. Mr. President, to my right and to your left, I have the pleasure of meeting and having here today as a guest Mr. Peter Groff, who served 10 years in the legislature in the state of Colorado. He was the only African-American to have served as president of the Colorado Senate in its history. I would like the body today to make him feel welcome, and we're happy to have him in the Capitol.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator to the Ninth to the Missouri Senate. Senators, you may proceed.
The only thing that we're really changing here is including the non-prescription drugs as being eligible for a reduction in there within 48 hours of the injury. The only thing that's changing. Current law allows for a reduction in benefits if someone is using illegal drugs and or alcohol.
You know, it says on page 3 of the bill, on line 8, it says the compensation and death benefit. Well, the compensation could be quite significant. I mean, if you fractured your spine, broke your arm, did something, you know, I have seen a lot of people who had little hairline fractures of their arm. They didn't realize it until it started aching the next day. I mean, there's all sorts of injuries that are kind of sleepers. I mean, they're not just obvious, you know, injuries that you just like immediately know. You put in. Have you ever been working, Senator, and after working for an hour or two outside doing something, suddenly notice that you're bleeding somewhere? I have had that happen to me often. In fact, yesterday, I was working out, chainsawing some brush, and when I got home and I'm taking a shower, I got this big, like, raw spot on my leg right here, and it was hurting like crazy in the shower. And I got an area there, and I'm like, how did I get that? I honestly have no idea how I got that. And it's just an example of, you know, when you're busy working, you're working for your employer, and pow, you find that you got hurt, but it's at end of the day. You know, I can just so much see how people could take a pill, and then under this law, if this becomes law, it's a rebuttable presumption that you're guilty, that you took it prior. And you may not have taken it prior.
But I believe that evidence could be presented to administrative law judge, and the law judge would look at the evidence, and he would make a ruling based upon that.
And so here's what you expect, then. You expect me, okay, I'm the guy, I'm the employee, you're the plaintiff. You say, Your Honor, here's the drug test, shows rebuttable presumption.
Here's how it would play out, because what I would do, when you came in on Monday, and you reported to me that, oh, by the way, I had an injury on Friday, and I've got a drug testing policy there, I would send you immediately down for a drug test.
Right.
To see if you had anything that was in violation to company policy.
And there it is.
And if it's there, obviously, that's what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay, now we go to the administrative law judge, and you take the drug test, and you go, Your Honor, there's the drug test. And then they go, they look at me, and they go, well, sir, what do you have to say for yourself? And I have the option now of saying, well, I went home, it started hurting, and I took this pill of my wife's, and I took this pill, and I was hurting so bad, and that's what happened. Now, under your proposal, on line 10, it says, It's a presumption that the injury was sustained in conjunction with the use of the tested, non-prescribed controlled drug. and I say, yeah, I took it, and you say, well, he's got to prove. He's got to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that he took it after the injury. And so it's just up to the administrative law judge to look at me and go, okay, that's the preponderance of evidence. You said so, so that must be it. He's just going to automatically believe me. Well, you got the drug test, and I've got my word. Which is the preponderance?
Well, I believe if it's, again, depending on what type of drug that it may or may not be.
A narcotic, OxyContin.
An OxyContin drug. If it was, a judge would have to take that in consideration as to whether it would raise to the level of reducing his benefits. And I believe he would be fair. And typically what I've seen is that administrative law judges tend to believe the employees. They probably have a more leaning toward employees as opposed to employers. I would think anyone that's an employer in here that has had anything to do with workers' compensation and ever been in before administrative law judges would find and would attest to the fact that they favor employees versus employers.
The whole idea here, Senator, is you are taking away a significant financial benefit from a person.
We've already done that in workers' compensation law,
upon a test that's done 2 full days after the injury. That's outrageous.
It would only occur, these times would only occur in the event that someone did not report the incident of injury at the time of injury. Therefore, the company would not have the opportunity to get that drug test to say, did he have those substances in his system at the time?
But that happens. That happens. That's the thing. That's the point. Like you can't have everything perfect, and this is an overreach. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is an overreach, this piece.
I'm going to disagree, because I do believe, and as I've stated, I do believe that the administrative court system, in the event that this occurs, and I don't think this is going to be widely occurring continually, but if when it does, they will take all the necessary information and they will make a decision based upon that information. And I would attest that they probably favor employees as opposed to employers.
But, you know, all I really want is I want every senator in here to vote on what they think.
And I'm okay, with and
because,
voting
on because your I think you can see my logic. I can see yours.
Yep.
But this is an important public policy thing. We ought to vote on what we all think.
I don't disagree. I think we will allow the body to vote on this, and we'll see what the body determines as to this amendment.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President, to speak against the amendment.
Senator from Franklin, you may proceed.
Mr. President, again, as I have laid out to the Senator from Buchanan, the reason for and necessary why that we need the ability to drug test someone prior to an accident. In the event that an employee does not report the injury, goes home, waits until he reports it till Monday, then there has been a period of time that has eclipsed that does not allow for that drug test to occur. And so the 48-hour window allows for that time frame. And so that I would hope the body would agree with me and vote down the senator's amendment.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from 34th.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield from an inquiry from the senator from the 7th?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I was listening to the debate between you and the senator from Franklin and trying to get caught up on the substitute here. It seems like we've got a few changes from the bill that came out of committee. We went from 6 lines to 15 pages. So the substitute went from 6 lines to 15 pages. And we'll get to the underlying discussion here in a minute. I want to talk about your amendment specifically. Your amendment, does it just bracket out section or lines 2 through 11?
Yeah.
Subsection 4?
Those are the only operant lines in that section, so I just took out that section.
So if you go to the section right below or before subsection 3, this is where the senator from Franklin was pointing out that you can already use alcohol as a rebuttal rebuttal presumption. Is that right? For forfeiture of benefits?
Yeah.
So my question would be, all right, let's assume under existing law that the accident happens. How long does, in your medical professional opinion, how long does it take for alcohol to work its way out of the system before you would find lower than the legal limits?
Okay, well, it depends on the amount, but it's usually considered 1 hour per ounce of alcohol. And in fact, you might take note that the Federal Aviation Administration has a rule for pilots that you should not fly an aircraft if you had had any alcohol within 24 hours.
Okay.
So 24 hours is probably safe to get most of the alcohol.
24 hours is safe. So my first question would be is, you know, why not keep the existing language and then insert 48 hours into the existing subsection 3 instead of creating this entire new subsection 4? What is the difference between what current law allows us to do other than the 48 hours that this new section also authorizes?
Okay, well, what particular spot are you looking at?
So lines 17 through 27, actually, no, 29, looks like. That's existing statute. That's where it says the voluntary use of alcohol to the percentage of blood alcohol sufficient under Missouri law to constitute legal intoxication shall give rise to a rebuttal presumption that the voluntary use of alcohol under such circumstance was the proximate cause of the injury. So under existing statute, if you've been drinking and you're over the level, then that would be sufficient under Missouri law to constitute a rebuttal presumption that the alcohol was the cause. So now, is it because, but then on line 23 it says, for non-prescribed controlled substances, I'm just wondering why create the entire new section? Why create the entire new section if you want to give the 48-hour period of time to administer the test, which it looks like that's what it does, why not just add that in Section 3? Why create the new section?
Would the Senate come to order while the senators are involved in an inquiry? Senators, you may proceed.
Do you understand my question, Senator?
Yes,
so
I do.
So why not put the 48 hours in subsection
3? Well, there is no 48 hours on the alcohol. I mean, you know, the alcohol, it just says the voluntary use of alcohol, you know, to the point of legal intoxication is a rebuttable presumption. But, I mean, like, it doesn't say that the test has to be done within a certain amount of time.
So the 48 hours does not apply to alcohol in any way. It's only the non-prescribed.
It's only on this. But the thing is that this is such a classic example of something that happens probably regularly, that passing this section is really seriously going to hurt a lot of people. I mean, it's, you know, cutting your compensation by 50% because you went home and you took a pill, and then 2 days later they tested you and it was positive. Of course it's going to be positive, but you've got to provide a preponderance of evidence that you had not taken that pill prior to the injury. And you may not be able to do that. I mean, if your wife were hurting, would you give her a leftover pain pill from your drug cabinet?
Yes.
Heck yes, you would, because you care about your spouse. But you don't know that by doing that, the next day she goes in and reports it, they do a drug test, it's positive. The employer's going to say, Your Honor, she obviously had that drug in her system. And she's going to have the option then of saying, no, I didn't have the drug in my system. I went home and took one of my husband's pills or one of my daughter's pills, thereby showing that you or your daughter or somebody committed a felony by giving a narcotic pain pill to her. I mean, that's what it is. You're making them plead guilty to a crime, ultimately. And that's wrong. Don't make them do that. Just get rid of this whole idea. It wasn't in the main bill. The main bill was six lines. This is an overreach. This is not the purpose of this bill.
So why? Why is this now in there? Why do we find this in the substitute?
Well, we're doing the work of somebody who wants to be able to use this law to their advantage, and they're overreaching. I mean, listen, I can understand not wanting to pay the benefits to somebody who's under the influence when they get injured. But to say that you can do the drug test 48 hours later, when it's just obvious that a person could take a pain pill to relieve the pain of something that just didn't show up right away during the intensity of work, is outrageous. We shouldn't be doing this.
How long will a pain medication stay in your system to be tested?
Days and days. You know, 7 half-lives might be 3 or 4 days even. And the thing is, I'll bet you that every person in this room has had the experience of injuring themselves and not feeling the pain until the next day, or at least many hours later. I mean, right. Each one of us has experienced that. So, especially if you're out working or doing any kind of work.
Let me talk to the senator from Franklin for a minute, and then maybe we'll come back to our inquiry. I want to ask him a couple questions. Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th, what purpose you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield from the inquiry?
I do.
Senator from the 7th. You may proceed,
yes.
Senator from the 7th.
Senator, we went from 6 lines to 15 pages. Why was this section added in here?
This was part of Senate Bill 290 that was heard in committee, passed through committee, and we just combined 3 sections of 290 with this. Obviously fits in the workers' compensation reform, and this is just part of it. That's why we brought these measures. We kind of felt like these were not that controversial issues.
So where did 290 come from? Like, we all have different outlets for where legislation comes from. Some of it comes from, you know, your primary experience. Some comes from national organizations.
Well, some of it, obviously, I mean, where it came from, as an employer, I agree with some of the other elements of there. Obviously, as I look through this is determination of payments, where it says if an employee voluntarily quits while they are provided work that is in compliance with their medical condition, as long as the employer is offering that work, the employee will not receive temporary partial disability nor total disability. I completely agree with that. If I'm providing light-duty work and meeting all your restrictions, and you decide that you no longer want to show up for work, then you should not be eligible for those payments. And so as an employer, I don't need anybody to pass that agenda. I believe that's the right thing to do.
Well, what about this 48 hours of testing? I mean, it seems to me that this is just a gotcha to try to deny benefits.
Well, I don't know that, but I mean, I think we're adding non-prescriptive drugs. Again, I think there's a concern of this window of opportunity where someone fails to report an injury, and there may be some language that we could come to a conclusion that would be better suited to address that. But
so if the... I'd like to see the senator from the 34th attempt to remove this, see where it goes. And if it fails, then I may be back to try and take that 48 hours down to 12 hours, something of that nature.
I think what I would say is that we would have to, at some point in time, it would have to be from the time that they failed or they gave notification to the employer. I mean, that's part of the problem, is that gap from when they reported the incident and when the incident occurred.
Right. And do you understand the senator from the 34th point that if you were injured, let's say in the morning, a normal weekday, workday, you're injured in the morning, you may not feel that until you got home at night.
I totally understand that, but again, report. We tell our employees that they should report any time that they believe that they've had any type of injury, and I understand that could occur, but I also know that I believe very simply that if you went, if that's all that you did and you tweaked a back, a shoulder, whatever, and you went home and you took a muscle relaxer or something,
And then you went into work and reported that incident and ultimately were forced to take a drug test. Then I do believe that before an administrative law judge, I don't think that he's going, I mean, first of all, I don't think you're going to receive any compensation above and beyond the medical treatment because we're not talking about that type of injury. Right. But I don't believe that a judge would say, you know, I think that we're ultimately looking at someone that's trying to, that's obviously this has been a pattern of their life and it attributed to their injury is when we're trying to reduce benefits.
So that's, so your goal would be to identify those workers who were injured because they were taking the non-prescribed narcotics.
And I think that the law currently addresses those injuries, those types of injuries.
So answer me why you would create the new section as opposed to going into subsection 3 and just modifying that to basically say what you wanted to say. I mean, why?
Well, I guess I'm not, I don't do legal statute work and
someone else that was the best way to do this.
Put this language like this, so I trust that the drafters of this put it in the right place.
Well, I see both sides. If you have an employee with a chronic opioid addiction and that was a contributing factor or motivating factor to, we can talk about that in a little bit. But for is what you're wanting to put in there, and that's not going to work
because
either.
Of yes
but for I understand wanting the employer to be able to identify, like our company, we have trucks,
right.
and we send out trucks that pick up 20 30 40 yard rear loading dumpsters, and we'll send out 8 to 10 of them a day, and they'll pick up, you know, 8 to 10 boxes a truck. And if you have a driver who caused an accident because they were impaired, you want to know that. And so,
absolutely,
I'm not arguing that that shouldn't be somewhat of a tool to be able to get to. But at the same time, I also understand Dr. Schaaf's position that what you oh. Go ahead, drop it. I deserve it.
Senator from the 7th, there's only senators in this chamber.
Senator from the 34th, if the senator from the 34th position is also valid, that in the instance where it truly is not a contributing factor and it happens to be an ancillary decision, this is awful draconian. I mean, this is something where if you get, you know, caught with a non-prescribed substance in your system because you took a pain reliever within that window and you lose your benefits, that seems to be pretty egregious. So how can we come up with something that's sort of that the employer knows that
I think that we're taking it to the extreme to believe that in the instances that he's trying to describe, that an administrative law judge wouldn't consider that and would automatically not award that 50% reduction, I mean, or would take that 50% reduction. I just don't believe that's the case. I don't believe in the real
world. Yeah, but you and I aren't going to be there in that moment that happens to whoever it is. And all it takes is one time for it to happen for us to have, you know, severely damage somebody that may be beyond the scope of what we're trying to accomplish here. And so that's where I hear the senator from the 34th.
Well, I think it's such a small scope of window what he's trying to describe, because what we're saying in the types of injuries that we're describing that could all of a sudden occur, that you wouldn't report those, where an employer would test you immediately upon notification of that particular injury. I mean, so to think that there's going to be some huge monetary award associated with a ankle sprain.
Yeah,
is just.
I'm not. It's not so much that I am interested in protecting the awards as I am interested in prohibiting the penalties. Because when I read this here, it basically says that, you know, if you test positive, then you could lose your benefits. And to me, that seems to be pretty extreme for what we're trying to go for. And again, if there's so few times that you think it's going to be prevalent, then why if you see resistance,
I think under the circumstance that he described would be again, I think there would be, if again, what we'd be trying to address is would be again someone failing to report.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's see if some other senators want to weigh in on this amendment. Let me go over here to staff and see if I can't, you know, maybe work something up that you can take a look at.
Okay.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on amendment number one? Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield from an inquiry from the senator from the first?
Yes, I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you, and thank you for yielding, Senator. So I have not seen your amendment. I'm not even sure I heard it when it was read. I assume you had it read. Is that right?
Well, you could ask for it to be reduced to writing, which it was, and be distributed. I just asked that it be read because it just removes that first section from the bill.
Yeah, I would, Mr. President, I would ask that Senate Amendment 1 be reduced to writing and distributed before
distributed,
we close.
Yeah. Well, Senator, do you mind if I suggest a scenario?
Sure.
Okay.
Not at all.
I wonder how many people in the room have ever had their house shingled or dealt with any, like, pile of lumber that's got some nails sticking in it. I mean, I myself have probably several times in my life been working around some lumber, tearing something down, and I have stepped on a nail, had it actually go through my shoe.
Ugh.
And puncture my foot without me even knowing it.
You know, I actually factually done something similar to that at a Habitat for Humanity job site, but somehow managed to avoid having it do a whole lot to my foot.
Well, it didn't do a whole lot of damage, just a little bit, like it stuck my foot.
Yeah.
And I didn't even notice it. And then later on, I took my shoe off and my sock, and I go, like, what's this? I got a little hole in my foot, and there was a hole in my shoe where the nail caught me,
yeah.
And it got me. Now, I have to tell you, as a physician, you can get a pretty serious infection from that. Okay, so let's just say that you're working on a Friday at the construction site, you accidentally stepped on something, you go home, you find this little hole in your foot, and on Sunday morning, your foot is throbbing.
Yeah.
And it's starting to get swollen up. It's throbbing. You take a pain pill that your family member has. And let's just say that you go on ultimately to lose your foot. Okay? Because that can happen.
Gangrene. Yeah.
Gangrene. Amputation. You lose your foot. Now, you go and you report the injury on Monday. They do the drug test. They find that there is drug in your system. And as a result, under section or subsection 2, you forfeit the benefit. You've lost your foot, and you forfeit the benefit because of this. I mean, no.
Yeah.
No, we must not do this. This is bad.
So forgive me, Senator, and here's the challenge that I am confronted with. When I walked out here, and really until I first grabbed my microphone, I simply did not have a copy of the floor substitute at all. The senator from Franklin was kind enough to give me apparently an extra copy, and it may very well be that two copies were distributed to his desk and zero to mine, which could happen. But regardless, because I was not alerted to the fact that there was going to be a floor substitute offered, much less a floor substitute that changed the standard at the center of the bill, much less that there was a Western District Court of Appeals opinion rendered 11 years ago that was going to be the linchpin in that proffered change in standard. I have not had a chance to really wrap my brain around your amendment, because while you have been talking, I have been reading, Senator. I have read the Templemeyer decision. I have read the McBride decision that the senator from Franklin mentioned, and I have been going through all of this, among other things, to try to figure out what the implications are for the standard, which is the core of the bill where we started. You're talking about another section of the bill that comes out of Senate Bill 290, and let me just check. I know that 290 is on the calendar, and that I've got it on in my bin here. Let me just see. I'm going to try to avoid putting the file on the next on the floor in front of my desk, but I've got, you know what, all I've got on 290 are the bills themselves. So it may be, I'll just say it this way, I'm much more up to speed on 113 than 290 at this point, although now that 290 is part of 113, I'm less up to speed. So I just want to look at the language that is now in 113 in the floor substitute that your amendment would remove. And it says, any positive test result for a non-prescribed controlled drug for an employee, and obviously your scenario is non-prescribed, right?
It wouldn't be prescribed, right. It would be for some other family member.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to mean that you were taking, doctor shopped drugs or something.
Sure. And I'll note that you just got away with what the senator from the 7th could not get away with because you were referring to yourself or some other doctor with your same surname. Regardless, so if confirmed by mass spectrometry, and I am sure that at some point in my life I have been brought up to speed on what mass spectrometry is, but Senator, would you mind, I assume as a medical professional, you probably have a better idea of that, of mass spectrometry than I do.
Well, you know, I don't know if that is the standard way that you detect all illicit drugs in people's bloodstream, but I'm not contesting that.
Right.
I'm contesting the 48-hour thing.
Sure.
In fact, even 1 hour. I mean, gosh, you go home and an hour later you take the drug. I mean, the point of it is that we're assuming that people are guilty before proven innocent. I mean, that's wrong. It's just not American.
Yeah, well, it gives rise to a rebuttable presence that the tested prescribed controlled drug was in the employee's system. And if the test was administered within 48 hours, such positive results should give rise to rebuttable injury of sustaining in conjunction with the use of the tested non-prescribed controlled drug. So this leads to, I have to say.
Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order while the two senators are in debate.
I have to say I'm not sure how I vote on your amendment, but I share your concern for the following reason. I mean, this creates a rebuttable presumption that the injury was sustained in conjunction with the use of tested non-prescribed controlled drugs. Your point is that they could have been taken afterwards. My point would be you could have an on-the-job injury where you're a driver for a delivery company and your car gets run over by an 18-wheeler, and even if you did have something in your system that might be more at the heart of what this language is trying to get at, but that clearly had nothing to do with the wreck. You weren't the wrongdoer. It just happened. You would lose your workers' comp benefits for the fact you got run over by an 18-wheeler when it had nothing to do with what, if anything, was in your system at the time. Am I
mine, and then you offer yours.
Am I reading that the way you're reading it, Senator?
Yeah, but you know something? If you read this paragraph more carefully, lines 2 through 6 kind of stand on their own. And basically what it says is, any positive test shall give rise to a rebuttable presumption that the tested non-prescribed controlled drug was in the employee's system.
Yeah.
And then the and says, and if the test was within 48 hours of the injury, the positive result will give rise to the presumption that the injury was sustained in conjunction with the use of the non-prescribed controlled drug.
I think I know where you're going here, and I think I'm going to...
Basically, they're saying even if you have it like 3 days later, it's presumed that it was in your system at the time of the injury.
All right, so...
That's not good.
I hear your concern about that presumption. So let me suggest this, though.
What we really need to do is just get rid of this section.
Well, I hear what you're trying to do there, and I'm wondering, do you have a sense that there might be some other senators who are thinking that maybe rather than getting rid of this language, we tweak it some or change it?
Well, I'd just as soon just have a vote to get rid of it. And just get rid of it and move on with the rest of the bill.
Well, here's...
Because any time that you put 1 hour, 5 hours, 12 hours, 36 hours, it's basically you're being presumed guilty instead of being presumed innocent.
Well, Senator, here's my concern with that, though. I hear what you're saying, and I share your concern. I'm just a little concerned about the message that we're sending in making this amendment in terms of the acceptability of drug use in the workplace. And there are some important interests at stake here, both from the employer and the employee, and frankly from the general public point of view. So I'm not sure that simply whether this section is the right question, and I'm not saying that I'm going to necessarily offer a substitute amendment or amendment to the amendment myself, but I would just say that do you agree with me? I'm not positing this. Wait a minute.
Well, let me just say this. You know, my whole objection rests upon the premise that a person can be injured and not really feel the pain
sure.
for a period of time.
No, I understand that.
So I think a reasonable period of time within which you would become aware of the pain would probably be 6 hours.
Well, yeah, and
So.
Three, Senator Standing, Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I seek recognition to introduce very special guests, and I apologize to the senators.
Seeking unanimous consent?
Yes.
Hearing no objection, Senator from Phelps, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on my right and your left, I've got Richard Dalton from Rolla, Missouri, who is the father of Jeremy Dalton, who is an Eagle Scout and has done a lot of really nice projects in the Rolla area. I would ask my colleagues to please make them feel welcome.
Would the Senate please welcome the guest from the Senator from Phelps? Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I'm thinking that, you know, if I got injured, I think 6 hours is probably a reasonable time limit for you to have this happen. In other words, probably six, okay, I'll go 8 hours. 8 hours. Like if you don't have this pain occurring within 8 hours, or you know, that's when probably it would be bad enough that you would take your family's pain pill. Let's say 8 hours.
Okay.
Instead of 48 hours.
Okay.
I'd probably be okay with that because it probably takes 6 or 8 hours for things to show up and start hurting bad enough and start swelling such that you have this happen. So you want to just, you sub it.
So
maybe the senator from the 7th might offer this.
I understand that the senator from the 7th is hard at work here. Senator, I'm going to break off this inquiry and probably inquire the senator from the 7th, but I will say this. I'm not certain that I can support your amendment in its totality. I do think that there's a rendition of this that I could support, so I'm probably going to want to explore either a substitute amendment or amendment to the amendment, but I want to get some sense of what that might look like before we go too far. I don't want to overdrive our headlights here. I'm not. There's a lot else in this bill to talk about besides just this provision. I don't want to unduly extend the proceedings regarding this provision. I want to get it right and move on to other issues in the bill.
I think I'll just withdraw my amendment.
You're certainly entitled to do
Mr.
that.
Mr. President, would you send my amendment back?
Senator from Buchanan, Cannon, your amendment will be sent back. Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. It is short. I ask that it be read.
Please send your amendment forward. Hearing no objection. I'm sorry. It will be read. To the Senate Amendment 2. Amendment number 2. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Holzman, amend Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 113, page 4, section 287.120, lines 7 through 8, by striking, quote, 48 hours of the injury, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof, quote, 8 hours of the notification, end quote.
Senator, you move for the adoption.
Adoption.
And do you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. The way I see this, subsection 3 of existing statute already gives the employer the opportunity to test in the event of an injury for alcohol and other non-prescription drugs. So we're not really talking about, rather, an employer should be able to drug test in the event of an injury. That's already established. What we're talking about is the time frame and duration of which you should be able to do that. The underlying substitute said 48 hours. Hearing the inquiry of the senator from the 34th and the senator from Franklin, I thought that the senator from the 34th had a point and the senator from Franklin had a point. So bringing it to 8 hours, you come in, if you practically play this out, you come in and at 8 in the morning and you notify, first it's after notification, so you notify your employer that you had an injury. The employer has 8 hours, which is a full work day, a full business day, in which to request that you get the drug testing. And if any substances are in your system that caused the injury, they're going to show up within that 8 hours. 48 hours is not necessary. So I would ask that the body approve this amendment, and let's move on to other portions of the bill.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Andrews, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a substitute amendment for that one. It is short, and I would ask that it be read.
Senator, send your amendment forward, your substitute amendment forward. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment. The substitute amendment.
Senate Substitute Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Hageman. Amend Senate Amendment 1, or Senate Amendment 2, excuse me, for Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 113, page 4, section 287.120, line 7, by striking the word, quote, 48, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, 24, end quote.
Senator Manners, are you moving for the adoption?
Mr. President, I do move for the adoption of the substitute amendment.
Did you care to explain your substitute amendment?
You bet. This simply, listening to the debate we've had going on, simply splits the difference between 48 and nothing, takes it to 24 hours from the time of the injury, not necessarily the time of the notification. Which I think that's more relevant. If we want to know if they have these prescription drugs in their medicine or in their system, we would want to know it closer to the time of the injury rather than the time of the notification. And that's simply what it does. We've heard the discussion on the amendment earlier. This really just changes it from 48 to 24. Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Does any senator desire to be heard on substitute amendment number 1 to amendment number 2 from the senator from the 7th? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield from an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
I do, Mr. President.
Senator, you may proceed.
Good evening. So, Senator, let's go over what happened here.
You bet. I've been listening to your discussion. I think you made some good points. I think that I can't condone people having, prescriptive drugs in their system. We know that there's prescriptive drug problems out there.
and abuse. So I think that there ought to be some action to be able to address people with prescriptive drug in their system that hasn't been prescribed. These are non-prescribed prescription drugs that aren't prescribed to that individual, and that there should be some penalties if you are misusing prescription drugs. But listening to your concerns, you know, I think it should be a narrow window, a smaller window from the time, not 48 hours, but 24 hours, in that time period to have this particular higher bar apply.
So the senator...
Thank you for your discussion, Senator.
The senator from the 7th offered up from 48 hours down to 8 hours.
From the time of notification. And I think it really should be tied back to the time of injury rather than the time of notification. Because, you, as you said, you could be notify somebody, you know, 2 days later, and you wouldn't, you know, I don't know how long these drugs would be in your system.
Okay, but
you would really want to tie it back to the time of the injury rather than the time of the notification.
Okay, now in the bill, it says 48 hours of the injury. Okay. And the senator from the 7th wrote 48 hours of the notification of the injury.
I don't know if he did that on purpose.
I withdraw my amendment.
Senator from Andrews withdraws his amendment. We'll send the amendment back. We are back to amendment number 2. The senator from the 7th, does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you
require? The senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield from an inquiry from the senator?
I do.
Buchanan. You may proceed.
Okay, now...
now we're back to the underlying amendment number 2,
right,
which is 8
senator,
hours after notification.
But, Senator, basically what you've done here is you've said, okay, let's just say that I get injured on Saturday... And then I go on Monday, 40 hours later,
right.
And now my employer has 8 hours to test me.
Right.
Okay, and if it's positive, then it's a rebuttable presumption that I was using it at the time of the injury.
Which is existing statute. Correct? In Section 3? The way that I read that now?
Well, no. The way that it's written in the bill is of the injury, not of the notification of the injury.
Right. No, I understand that that is a change, but pretty much the structure of the consequences are essentially already in statute. So what happens now? What happens now? Let's say today this bill doesn't pass, and after session... We have an injury to somebody on Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Under existing statute today, what happens? That person comes back in on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, 24 hours later. Can they be drug tested under existing statute?
Yes.
Yes, they can.
But see, the problem is that if... See, when you put notification of the injury... The notification of the injury can be 48 hours later.
It can be.
And the thing is that you don't want to have a situation. Your amendment isn't fixing the problem that I see as a problem. What it's doing is it's making it worse, actually.
Okay.
Because if, let's say I'm injured, you know, Friday at 5, and I go in on Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning,
right.
And I tell my employer, you know, I got injured, and they say, okay, go and take a blood test, which you do an hour later. Well, now the employer has met the trigger for saying the rebuttable presumption that the drug was in your system.
Right.
And you don't want that. So what I would say is, if we just reintroduce your amendment, and just get rid of the notification and make it of the injury, then it's within 8 hours of the injury. So that way, if a person gets injured in the morning, the employer can say, okay, you go get the drug test, and, you know.
So what is it now? Like, I'm trying to understand if
I get injured at 5 o'clock on Friday, and I come in on Monday, and I say that I got injured at 5 o'clock on Friday, and the employer says, go take a drug test, and I show that I've had, you know, muscle relaxant that wasn't prescribed to me because I used that medication over the weekend, what happens to me
at
that point?
I think that the court is going to say that is not proof that you took it at the time of the injury. It's going to be the reasonableness of the court.
Okay. So because we're trying to whack-a-mole here, what about the unintended consequence of, since I know I can take a drug test within 8 hours of notification, I just simply withhold my notification for long enough to get the medicine out of my system?
Well, you could if you knew the law. But what I'm trying to get at here is just to lower the time limit down.
Well, what did you think about the senator from Andrews 24 hours from the moment the injury
happens?
Well,
I think 24 hours is just too long, because the thing is, there is a reasonable period of time whereby you get injured and the kind of pain starts to crescendo after a period of time. And I was thinking, after talking to you, I was thinking 6 hours, and you suggested eight. And I thought, okay, 8 hours. Probably, if you're going to be having pain, it's probably going to occur within about 8 hours. Then you're going to take the pill. You know, if it's not within 8 hours,
let's say you get injured on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. 12 hours from that point in time would be 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're probably not going to notify that you've been injured within that time period. And if existing statute essentially says that you can test upon notification, but the existing statute is not as punitive of finding that non-prescribed narcotic in your system, because my understanding is, I mean, the alcohol could still, if you're over the limit,
I'm just simply saying that, okay, I'm willing to compromise. I wanted to get rid of the section, but I would say if you get injured and they drug test you within 8 hours and it's positive, that probably means that you've been taking the drug, because it probably takes a good 8 hours for you to start.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you talk to the senator from Franklin?
I was thinking of subbing out your amendment by just changing it in just to of the injury.
Okay. I mean, I'm, again, we got bigger problems with this bill than this.
Mr. President?
Senator from Buchanan,
I have a substitute amendment.
Send your substitute amendment forward. Are you asking it to be?
I would ask that it be distributed, and I would not close on it until such time as it has been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain
your
amendment?
Yes. The senator from the 7th has offered up an amendment where he said 8 hours from the time of the reporting of the injury, and I would just get rid of the reporting and have it be of the injury. And the point of it is that there is a medically valid, probably reasonable period of time during which, following an injury, it's not the sleeper pain, the delayed onset of the pain is probably not going to occur. And in such that if you did a blood test within that period of time, it probably is reasonable to say you were likely on that medication when you were injured. And that period of time, I don't know what it is, but as a physician, I'm guessing 6-8 hours. Certainly, if you got injured, you wouldn't, and if it didn't hurt like right now, such that you ran to your employer and said, I've injured myself, if there is such an injury, there is probably some period of time. I think that 24 hours is way too long. I think that 6 or 8 hours is probably okay. Probably, if you if you don't hurt within 6 or 8 hours, you know, and then probably you were taking the drug that was in your system before that. So that's my logic. I think it makes some sense, and it's a good compromise. So, thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on substitute amendment number 2 to amendment number 2? Senator Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Franklin? Senator, you may proceed.
I think we got to the crux of the issue here with the amendment that from the reporting time. My concern is, again, as you've described, this window when this pain occurs. But there at no time does the employer aware that the injury has occurred. So how in the world are we going to be able to test the individual from the time the injury occurred before that six-hour period expires?
Well, 8 hours.
How am I going to know?
Well, here's the thing.
How am I going to know on a weekend?
Let's just say that a person's working a 12-hour day, and early in the day they get injured. Okay. Now, if they are injured and it hurts immediately, or any time within 8 hours, they're going to run to their employer and they're going to say, look, I've been injured. You get to go and drug test them. Now, if they get injured and a period of time occurs and later on they start hurting, I'm saying that it's probably reasonable to say they probably would be injured. They probably would start that pain within 8 hours. I think it's reasonable to assume that, so that after 8 hours, no, I said that wrong. It's reasonable to say that pain may take longer than that. It may take longer than 8 hours to occur. So if it takes longer than 8 hours, then, you know, you shouldn't probably test them, you know?
Well, that, again, appropriately to his, from the report of the injury, again, I think is the key. Because if you allow, again, I'm just saying, if somebody that's gaming the system that understands the law, then they will say, you know, if I'm abusing prescription drugs on the job and I get injured, all I have to do is wait out your 8-hour time frame and I'm home free.
Well, but the thing is,
I'm home free.
If you test them within 8 hours, then this is a compromise. Like, I don't even want this section in the bill, but I'm willing to compromise and say, okay.
But I would love to test you within 8 hours, but I have to know, I have to be notified in order to test you, because you're not going to voluntarily take it upon yourself to go get drug tested.
Well, the problem is that if a day later, my foot is starting to swell because I stepped on a nail or whatever, it may take a day for that pain to really occur. And if my foot is hurting and I'm out at the senator from the 23rd's cabin and we're out there, you know, and my foot starts to hurt and I go, hey, do you have anything for pain? And he goes, yeah, here, take one of these. I take it, then I show up for work the next day and you drug test me. Bam, I'm really like in trouble. Like I've lost, like let's just say I lose my foot. You have totally taken away my compensation. And so I'm just saying like 8 hours. Okay, do it within 8 hours. Because
I would love to be able to test you within 8 hours. I just don't know how to do it under your pretense because all you have to do is wait out the clock.
No.
Under your scenario.
Under your language.
Right.
You can go ahead and test them, and there is the presumption that the tested drug was in my system. That's what it says.
But I have 48 hours. Again, I have 48 hours.
No, but that's only then to say that they will, is a presumption, is that it was the proximate cause of the injury, that it was in conjunction with the injury. And so the thing is, you still get to say, oh, hey, he had the drug in his system, but it's just that you haven't shown the rebuttable presumption that it was in conjunction with the injury, according to your own language. So it's a compromise. You know, that's what we're about here.
Well, I'm not sure. Again, I preferred the other compromise as opposed
to
this.
But that's no compromise at all. That's actually extending the 48 hours. That means that you could go all the way to, you know, 3 days. You could go 3-4 days. The guy goes, by the way, I've developed this pain. And you go, okay, do I have a blood test? As long as it's within 8 hours of several days that have gone by, it's a presumptive injury that it was, you know, associated with the injury. That's not okay.
What about, okay, let's get back. What's your number? 8? I think 20.
I suggested 6 hours because I'm just thinking that the pain will take a few hours to occur. He said 8.
From the report of injury. Again, you're talking about six hours from the injury.
Yeah, that's when the pain starts.
But I will never be able to test you within 6 hours because I don't even know your injury.
Well, if it happens early in the day.
How will it? You may not report it.
Well, but the...
You will not report it.
Well, then if he doesn't report it, he'll never get...
No, he'll wait the six hours. If he's gaming the system, he waits the 6 hours and says, no, I took that at lunchtime because I had this injury. You know, so that's when I took this non-prescribed medication.
Well, but as long as it's within 8 hours, then under this, under my compromise proposal, then, you know, you can test him.
I still think what we were trying to accomplish with the 48-hour window was to cover the period when an employee could have left work, not reported an injury, and then comes in on Monday and reports the fact that they were injured. And then you have an opportunity to test them at that point in time. And ultimately, that was the goal with
this
piece.
Well, from Friday to Monday is more than 48 hours. But the thing is, according to your own language, it's a rebuttable presumption occurs no matter when they're tested. And it's only if it was within 48 hours is the presumption that the positive result was associated with the injury.
Well, I would offer that we would negotiate from 48 to 24 on this particular provision, and let's see if the body
determines. The thing is that you could be having that. I just believe that you could be having pain within 24 hours based upon even my own personal experience and my experience working with patients. I think that... You know, it may take a while, it may take up to 6-8 hours, but it's, you know, within 24 hours, it's likely to happen. Like, if you've ever stepped on a nail, if you've ever sprained your ankle, you know that several hours after it occurs, you can be sitting there in agony, and, you know, you're far from the nearest hospital. You take a pain pill. You make it through the night. You know, you don't want to take away these people's rights under the law. Just like take a compromise, Senator.
Well, here's what I would assume that the body will vote on your substitute amendment for the senators, and if they so choose, your path, but I'm going to speak against the substitute amendment. Mr. President.
Senator from Franklin.
Again, I think that I understand we've tried to work a couple angles here, but I do believe that what the Senator from Buchanan is trying to do is contrary. It only makes the problem worse. Therefore, I would hope that the body would vote this particular down, and we will... See what happens after that.
Does any senator desire to be heard on substitute for amendment number 2? Substitute amendment number 2 to amendment number 2. Senator from Buchanan, purpose to rise.
If I could get 5 members standing, I'd just like to have a roll call on that. Okay. 1, 2. Got it.
You have five members standing. There will be a roll call vote. Any other Senator from Buchanan, are you finished?
Yes. Thank you.
Is any other senator desire to be heard on substitute amendment number two? Senator from the first.
To inquire the senator from the 34th. Actually, to inquire the senator from the 7th. Go with that.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield from the senator from the 1st on inquiry?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I was hoping to talk to the senator from Buchanan, but he appears to be detained on other matters.
Sure.
So has this amendment been distributed?
Not the subs. Mine has.
Yours has.
Yeah, the 8.
And we're now the substitute.
Yeah, we originally had a substitute from the senator from Andrew, which he withdrew. And I'm not so sure that he wasn't maybe on to something with the 24 hours from the time of the injury. Because, see, what's a debate here is rather you start the clock at the time the injury occurs or you start the clock at the time you tell the employer the injury has happened.
Well,
I think if you're going to game it, you can game it either way, because if it's 24 hours from the time that you had the injury, you just have to suffer through, if it truly did cause the injury,
right.
You have to suffer through that 24 hours. But if you only have 8 hours from notification, then you just wait to notify until
sure.
the system that's worked its
so
way out
of
your
system. Your amendment, which on a roll call vote, if I vote yes, I'm voting to blow out of the water. What your amendment takes 24 and changes it to just 8, right?
No. He withdrew the 24, so forget the 24.
Oh, I changed it 48 to 8. Your amendment
48
changes
to 8,
48
but
to 8.
Mine's upon notification where the 48 hours is not. So existing substitute is 48 hours from the time of the injury. So if I get injured at 5 o'clock on a Friday and I come back in Monday morning at 8, that 48 hours has already expired.
Well, but isn't that what the bill says?
No, the bill says from the time of the injury. Mine says from time of notification.
Right.
So my clock starts once you tell the employer you're hurt.
And the senator from Buchanan's substitute amendment would change.
Which would basically say my clock starts from the time the injury occurs, which is what
so
the bill
says.
So
it's your 8 hours plus the way the bill does it.
No. Mine is 8 hours from the
right.
time the employee notifies
right.
the employer.
The bill is 48 hours from the time of the injury.
Right.
Yours is 8 hours from notification to employer.
Right.
The substitute amendment is 8 hours
from the time of the injury.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Right.
So we're saying within 8 hours of time of injury.
So 8 hours. Now I heard the 24.
Okay.
You know, would 12 hours be enough? Not if it's a weekend issue. And I understand what the senator from the 34th saying, because imagine if you're a rural citizen. And you do live far from a hospital, and it is Friday night at 9 o'clock at night when the pain starts to hurting, you know, and you've got some Vicodin that's from a dental surgery or something, you're going to take that medicine, okay? If you're in pain, you're going to take that medicine because guess what? 9 o'clock on a Friday night in a rural, small town America, you're not going to have CVS to go to for the Minute Clinic. You're not going to have your doctor on call. You're not going to have the hospital that's a 15-minute you know, drive away. So you're gonna deal. And I think in doing that, you're probably gonna put yourself at risk for losing your benefits here if we adopt it the way it is. Now, we started out with the senator from 34th just getting rid of it completely. Just
right.
saying, let's
no,
just delete it
yeah.
all. Leave it under Section 3 the way Section 3 is written, which basically removes the clock. And I'm not so sure that that's not a better answer. I'm trying to navigate a compromise,
sure.
but you and I both know this bill's got bigger problems than this.
Well, as I think I expressed to the senator from Buchanan, I'm not sure I'm in favor of completely stripping out that the provision we're discussing here.
Well, it's already in subsection 3, though.
Sure.
That's the thing. Really, the only thing we're adding is that 48-hour clock.
All right. Well, this is helpful, or in this case, an 8-hour clock from time of injury.
If
the substitute amendment is adopted.
So my feeling is look, if you get hurt on Friday at 5 and you come in Monday at 8, your employer has 8 hours to test you from that time. Now, Dr. Schroff would say that you're probably going to have that medication in you if you used it on Friday and Saturday, and he's right.
All right. I'm going to inquire of the senator from Buchanan and then the senator from Franklin. Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the first?
I do.
Senator from the first, you may proceed.
All right, so I want to make sure, because I don't have your substitute amendment in writing, but it sure is a roll call vote. I want to make sure I know exactly what it does. I think the senator from the 7th explained it to me, but you're saying within 8 hours, his amendment says 8 hours of the notification of the injury to the employer. Your substitute amendment strikes of the notification of the injury to the employer and says of the injury, right?
Yeah.
So we're saying 8 hours of the injury.
Right.
All right, thank you, Senator. Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from Franklin?
Senator from Franklin, do you yield for an inquiry from the senator from the first?
I do.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I understand you spoke against the substitute amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and I'm not trying to drag this out. I just want to make sure I know what I'm voting on before we're taking a roll call vote on it. What are your concerns with the substitute amendment? I don't need a...
The senator from the 7th offered an amendment that said it's all about the report of the injury.
Right.
And being able to test to determine if that individual, that controlled substance, attributed to the injury.
Sure.
And so, again, when he put it to, you know, within 8 hours of the report of injury, I was fine with that. But when you say it's just within 6 hours or 8 hours of the injury occurring, as an employer, I never know when the injury occurred. And so an individual that's gaming the system with his only has to wait 6 hours or 8 hours in order to not be in a position where they would lose benefits.
All right, so let me make sure I understand that. I mean, isn't the time of injury pretty ascertainable if you've got a workers' comp proceeding and there's going to be evidence that this car accident happened at 2:14 Central Daylight Time on date X in place Y, right? I mean, aren't we almost always going to know that?
Well, not until the employee, you know, specifically states the time in which the injury occurred.
Well, but you've got witnesses, usually, or you've got computer backup, you've got information, right? I'll grant that there are going to be some cases where we don't know the time, but we're generally
going to know the time. But in the instance that he's described throughout this whole proceedings is the individual goes home, and all of a sudden now and starts to incur pain.
Sure.
Well, he's never reported an injury at this point.
Sure.
Because if he has, I've already drug tested the individual.
Right. So your concern is that it gives employees an incentive not to report until they go home and then feel worse.
Until they go home. If they're on a non-prescribed controlled substance, if they're addicted to it and they get injured, they just wait out the clock and then it cannot be used to reduce the benefit.
Sure. So for the sake of argument, let's just say I agree with you on that. Next question.
Yes.
I still share some of the concerns that I think motivates this entire line of discussion anyway. And mind you, of course, my thoughts on this bill, of course, pertain to a different section entirely.
Right.
Just trying to weed through this in a way that makes sense. Let's just say the roll call amendment fails.
Yes.
All right. So next question is, my concern is that you've got, I mean, to have a... I get that you say that the rebuttable presumption that the injury was sustained in conjunction with the use of the test of non-prescribed controlled drug can be rebutted by a preponderance of the evidence. It just seems to me that there are going to be cases where people have something in their system that has nothing to do with the accident. There are going to be cases where it does.
Well, that absolutely could be true, but there can be instances where someone that is above the legal limit of alcohol is involved in an accident, and they're still going to look at that evidence.
Next question. This section is pertaining to controlled drugs, right?
Yes. It's non-prescribed controlled drugs.
So, for instance, is the illegal use of marijuana a non-prescribed controlled drug? Is drinking 40-ounce beers a non-prescribed controlled drug?
I think that's addressed in the earlier section.
Okay. So we're really talking about pain medication.
We're talking about, yes.
I see.
Pain
All right.
Medication.
So the earlier section is section 3,
yeah.
And that gets into
alcohol.
Blood alcohol content.
Yeah.
And is there a separate section that takes up other
it says
banned substances?
On page 3, line 12, alcohol or non-prescribed controlled drugs.
But is an illegal drug a non-prescribed controlled drug?
An illegal drug?
Yeah, an illegal drug. Marijuana, for the sake of discussion.
I think, yes, I think that is, that under the current references, that is a non-prescribed controlled drug.
Got it. All right, so let me just suggest this. I don't know if the amendment will get on or not. If it does get on, I don't know whether the senator from Buchanan will be done with the section. If he is, fine. If he's not, we'll continue the discussion. If this amendment doesn't get on, my next question is going to be, Is there a way we can deal with this so that we're not making presumptions about what caused the accident? I'm not a pain expert, frankly. I would take the senator from Buchanan or the senator from the Second's assessment of these issues before I would take my own or probably anybody else's. But it just seems to me to assume that this crash happened because you were on Vicodin is quite an intuitive leap to legislate as the presumption in all cases. So I'll just maybe plant that seed. We'll see. I mean, maybe the roll call will fail, and the Senate from the 34th and the Senate from 7th will decide that they're tired of having this discussion. I don't know.
Well, again, we've went anywhere from 8 from the report of injury to 24 hours as the bill, and changing to 24, I think that hopefully we can move through this piece of the bill and on to some of the more concerning parts.
I appreciate it, Senator. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the first.
Senator from the first, do you yield from an inquiry from a senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
So, Senator, this is a complicated issue.
I agree.
And the way that this is worded on page 4,
yep.
If you read it, it basically says any positive test result for a non-prescribed controlled drug from an employee. In other words, it could be marijuana, cocaine, it could be any non-prescribed controlled substance. It could be an illicit drug or a prescription drug, although it wouldn't be prescribed to this person.
Sure.
And then it says, if confirmed, using generally accepted medical or forensic testing procedures shall give rise to a rebuttable presumption that the tested non-prescribed controlled drug was in the employee's system.
Yeah. It doesn't say when. I think they mean to say at the time of the accident or injury.
Right. And then it says, and if it was administered in and we're dickering about the time,
right,
then such positive result shall give rise to another different rebuttable presumption.
Right.
That the injury was sustained in conjunction with the use of the tested non-prescribed controlled drug.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not sure I know what in conjunction with means. It seems to be fuzzier than because of, but they're basically saying it's your fault.
I mean, I would say that the injury was sustained at the same time that it was in your blood.
Okay.
Is what they're presuming.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, when you get injured, there sometimes are cases where after a period of time, you start developing pain.
Sure.
Now, the question is, how long is that period of time? And I guarantee you that it's variable from person to person and from injury to injury.
Sure. No, I agree with that.
Right.
But for
the purpose of making this public policy, if we choose a period of time which we think would represent, the time period for most people that it would take for them to develop that pain.
Sure.
Then a reasonable amount of time might be 8 hours.
Well, and I understand that that's the debate. I mean, I think in most cases, certainly 48 hours, if you're going to need pain medication, you're going to be needing it within 48 hours of the injury, although I'm sure there will be some who litigate soft tissue cases that will suggest otherwise.
I'm just telling you, if you sustain a fracture, it might take a few hours.
Yeah.
Probably after 8 hours, it's going to be hurting.
Senator, I've experienced that personally, actually. I fractured my clavicle. And it wasn't hours, but it was, had I not felt it and felt that it was at a right angle where previously it had been like a normal clavicle, I would not have realized that I had fractured my clavicle. It was about 20 minutes after I did it that I realized that I had. Had I not felt it at that time, it very well could have been later that night before I would have realized I'd done it.
Right. So the thing about it is, a period of time, no matter what period of time we select, it's going to be arbitrary. And we're making a public policy here that's based upon an arbitrary time period.
Sure.
After which, if we say that this positive drug test is presumed to have, occurred in conjunction with the injury, then we literally could be costing this person hundreds of thousands of dollars over their lifetime.
Or certainly meaningful recovery under the law to
which
they would otherwise be entitled.
I mean, this is critically important. So
I agree, Senator. At the same time, let me push back on a couple of points. The first is the senator from Franklin making, I think, the somewhat reasonable point. Why, as an employee, if this says 8 hours, why would you ever report within 8 hours unless you had no other choice? I mean, if you're concerned about – if you were taking non-prescribed – I mean, you'd agree with me that an employee who's hurt, who has non-prescribed controlled drugs in their system that had nothing to do with the accident, who's not otherwise tested or forced to report or at the time is not known, I mean, if it's fuzzy as to when this happened, why wouldn't you wait more than 8 hours to just get past that, if that's what it says?
Well, I mean
– I'm not saying it's going to happen every day, but it's not impossible.
If you assume that everybody knows the law, they might do that.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's
a
fair point.
But then on the other hand, there's the person who literally 10 hours later starts being in agony and takes a pill, and you don't want to catch them on the flip side. And it's always better to make the law protect the innocent than to try to catch everybody who's guilty.
Well, I hear you. The next public policy question is, frankly – and I understand that there are – well, let me say this. I'm not a doctor. You are, so I'll ask you. I mean, can being on a non-prescribed controlled drug affect your reflexes, affect your judgment, affect the speed at which – can it cause you to get hurt where you otherwise might not have gotten hurt?
Yeah. Well, what if – let me ask you this. What if you went home and – You started having this pain, you know, your ankle was broken, and you said, you know, I can't sleep, and so you asked your spouse for one of her sleeping pills. So you took the sleeping pill. Next day, the sleeping pill showed up in your system. There's no way you were taking the sleeping pill when you had the injury.
Right, but under this law, you have to prove that, yeah.
Under this wording, that sleeping pill would be presumed to have caused your injury.
Yeah, let me just...
I mean, no!
Yeah, let me suggest this. I understand your concern. I understand the senator from Franklin's concern. I get that, right, for the moment at least, we're approaching this from the vantage of the length of time in question, and that's obviously the prerogative of those who were moving amendments on that basis. I would just suggest that I think there's probably a way to draft this section that strikes the right balance. I share your concern that I'm not sure the section in its current form does that. I'm also not convinced that the amendment does that, but I'm going to continue to listen to the discourse. I know that you and the senator from the 7th and the senator from Franklin have strong feelings about this, and as I think I've expressed, my primary concern with this bill lies in another section. So I'm going to, now that I understand what I'm going to be voting on, I'm going to put my microphone. This is your inquiry, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is your inquiry. What am I saying?
Mr. President, let me just go ahead.
You're welcome
Mr.
to inquire
President,
me further. Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I noticed a slight mistake in my amendment, and I would ask unanimous consent for a technical change to remove the words "to the employer."
Hearing no objection to the technical change, it will be made at the dais.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire the senator from Buchanan?
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield from an inquiry from the senator from the 13th?
Yes.
You may proceed.
Senator, I was reading your amendment and the other amendments and where they fit in the bill. And as with anything, when you're not quite clear and don't understand something, the wheels in your head start turning, which is a scary thought sometimes. But I was thinking about times when we discussed drug testing when I was still in the industry. So, and I'm going to give you an example, and I don't know, we always told folks, you know, I don't care if you're, and now in several, I know in Colorado, marijuana is legal, right? So my example, what if you were on vacation and you're out skiing in Colorado, okay? And you decide that you're going to partake in some marijuana. Come back, you go to work Monday. Now, you're no longer under the influence of that substance, but it's still in your system, and it, from what I understand, and you're a doctor, you can tell me that it'll remain in your system for several weeks.
Yeah, 30 days.
So you go to work and you get hurt.
At least a few weeks it could stay in there, yeah.
So without your amendment, are you saying that then that marijuana could cause you to lose your benefits with workman's comp?
Under this,
even though you got hurt 2 or 3 days after you partook in that drug, a legal drug where you were at the time, and that would have a bearing on your benefits if you got hurt at work on Monday, right?
Okay, well, here's the thing, Senator. You're exactly right, but if you look at page 3 on line 5 of the sub, it says, where the employee fails to obey any rule or policy adopted by the employer relating to a drug-free workplace. Well, the thing is that the employer could be testing you any time if they have a drug-free workplace. They could say, give us a urine specimen to prove that you're not taking marijuana. And if you failed that, you know, you could lose your job.
Right.
Okay, but under your scenario, let's just say that you were out in Colorado, you smoked, a week went by, you came back, the marijuana had nothing to do with it, but you got injured on the job. The employer says, go get a drug test immediately. You do, it shows marijuana. Under this language...
Where at were you referencing? I just found the bill. What page?
Under the language that's in there on page 4, in the bold.
Okay.
Now, all of a sudden, you lose half of your benefits. Half. Half of your benefits. And not only that, but you might lose all of your benefits. You could lose all of them. You know, if they say, well, you know, you could have been under the influence of marijuana as the proximate cause of whatever happened. Under sub 2, you could lose everything. So you're exactly right. You know, but given that they could be drug testing you, okay, I understand. My concern has always been, at least as far as this discussion goes, the case of developing the pain that didn't occur until later, and you go and you take something to relieve the pain, and right. Then you get gigged for 48 hours later. It's the 48-hour rule I don't like. I don't like what you suggested either, because, you know, one of the things in this bill that... is kind of interesting. If you look on page 2 under sub 4.
Yeah.
Okay, now read sub 2. It says, where the injury is caused by the failure of the employer to comply with any statute of the state or any lawful order of the division of the commission, the compensation and death benefit provided for under this chapter shall be increased 15%. So basically what they're saying is, if the employer puts you at risk and does something bad, you can get 15% more.
Right.
But they're saying that if you smoked marijuana 3 weeks ago and the test comes back positive, you can lose everything. Well, that seems a little bit, you know, lopsided to me.
It does to me, too. It seems, you know, and you could use the argument that you work in a drug-free workplace. But working in a lot of these drug-free workplaces, that I have seen employers use it to get rid of people, knowing they've been off 2 weeks, I think they do recreational things that I don't agree with, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and then I've seen other guys, that people who have never been tested, knowing full well that they're taking a risk. But I just don't think we should be putting Missourians in the position of taking a risk.
Well, I mean, this is a really important for a lot of people. And when you get injured on the job, if we're going to have a work comp statute, we ought to take care of the people who are injured and not try to find some way of eliminating their benefit. And to say that you're going to be drug tested 48 hours after the fact, I'm willing to compromise down to, say, 8 hours. Let's do 8 hours.
And you probably wouldn't agree with me, Senator, completely, but I think that the work comp system is unfair to the employee now. I was a victim of it. I broke both my legs. Missed a whole winter of work. You know, and the compensation I received wasn't even a quarter of what I would have made had I been able to go to work.
Well, and you know,
we've reduced that since I've been here.
I just have to tell you, I used to be in private practice, and I would see patients that were injured on the job. And they would go to the work comp doctor who would do things and was so limiting on them that I was frankly offended. And I if they had been my patient, I would have treated them totally differently and with a lot more compassion. And, you know, I have always felt that a person ought to be able to choose their own physician, but they kind of gave that up when the work comp statute went into place.
Sure, sure we did. And I wanted to do everything by the book because I liked where I worked and I liked my employer and I thought he was going to do the right thing by me. And you know what? I let him choose the doctor. I even let him choose, even though when I'd stand up, I'd fall down. And you understand. And that was immediately after it happened. I even let him choose whether I went to see a physician's assistant at a clinic, outpatient clinic, or go to the emergency room. And, oh, by the way, I was working on a hospital. And I did everything like he wanted to do. So I understand where people get frustrated. And every year we add more and more of a burden on our constituents and make it harder for them. And I think this is just more of that.
Well, I think that my amendment is a reasonable compromise on this piece of the bill. Don't even think that the rest of the bill is perfect. Because,
oh, I don't. I have an amendment of my own here, Senator.
Like, I'm only talking about the first section here. There's a lot more meat in this bill that needs to be discussed.
Well, thank you for the inquiry.
You're welcome.
Senator from Barrie, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield from an inquiry from a Senator from Barrie?
I do.
Senator from Barrie, you may proceed.
Senator, I was an employer for 30 years
in the
pharmacy business. And I had some policies concerning drugs since I had a pharmacy. And we had the right to test our employees anytime we wanted to. And if any of them ever had drugs in their system, they were... Yes.
Gone.
They were gone. And the employees knew that. And in this bill, we have, if an employee fails to obey any rule or policy of an employer relating to the use of alcohol, non-prescribed drugs, so the employee knows ahead of time, and your example on marijuana, which can last in the system for 2-3 weeks, depending on metabolism, etc. If they do that, and they can be fired for that too, right? That's correct. Now, as far the objective here is, as far as I'm looking at this, is to determine if the drug was in the body at the time of the injury, correct?
Right.
That's our objective.
Well, if you're looking at page 3, sub 6, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, the thing is, I will freely admit to you that if the employer, you, have an employee who is found to have a drug in their system that they shouldn't have, a non-prescribed controlled substance, then you should fire them. You can do that. But as far as reducing their benefit by 50%, You've got to show that the use of it was sustained in conjunction with the use of the drug, or the injury was sustained. So in the case of...
That's our objective, yes.
Right.
Just try to...
Right. So if the person goes home and finds out, you know, they, you know, in a pharmacy office, I suppose something could fall on their foot or something. I don't know. Some injury. And they go home and they think they're okay. But in the middle of the night, they start having pain and they go like, oh my gosh, this is killing me. And, you know, their spouse or somebody has a pill. They take it. Fine. They come back a day or two later. All I'm saying is that it might take 8 hours for that pain to develop. And even though they were violating your drug policy and they could lose their job, they shouldn't lose 50% of their benefits in a case like that.
Well, if they have health insurance, they probably have insurance that pays for their emergency room.
Yeah, except
and there is
that...
no reason why they should be taking someone else's medication that, according to federal law, is against federal law.
I agree with you.
And you can be prosecuted.
It is against federal law. You're absolutely right. But
and you know the rules and regulations of the company you work for.
But sometimes people do stuff like that. I mean, they do. And the question is do we want a public policy that just takes away half of their benefits?
They're probably lucky to get half of their benefits.
Well, and not only that, but if it's work comp, your private insurance is going to not apply, probably.
Yeah, as far as the hours go, I'm really not too... I think maybe a shorter period of hours might even be better than the 48 hours.
I'm saying 8 hours. I'm offering
because
eight.
There are some drugs that will last in your system for several days, you know, that you can detect. But others, like codeine, it's water-soluble, and it moves out of the system very quickly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 48 hours probably wouldn't be able to detect anything like that.
I just think that 48 is way too long, and probably a more scientific number would be like 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
But as far as the detectable amounts, you know, you have to be able to... I don't want anybody working for me that, of course, is taking either non-prescribed drugs or illegal drugs.
Well, your point is well taken.
Yes.
I understand your point. It's well taken. I just... Like, it's a matter of, it's an arbitrary number that we have to come up with.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Substitute Amendment number 2? Any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Buchanan, you are recognized to close on Substitute Amendment number 2 for Amendment number 2. From a senator from the 7th.
This has been a kind of a long discussion, but it's a very important discussion. And what it's about is somebody who is injured on the job and has one of those kinds of injuries that takes a little while for the pain to manifest itself. These are real things. I've seen them happen. I'm sure other physicians have seen them happen. People in the chamber have admitted that they've had similar things happen to them. And when this happens, after several hours, you find yourself hurting. And if you happen to be in a place where it's not convenient to go to an emergency room or an urgent care, you might find yourself taking a controlled substance or non-prescribed medication that is available. And if you do that to make it through until you can go and make this report to your employer, that medication will be in your system and you will not want to tell your employer about it, or you will not want to tell the administrative law judge about it, because you'll be throwing the person who gave it to you under the bus. You don't want to do that. And at the same time, you don't want to give up half or all of your compensation under the work comp law. So 48 hours is just too long. And so we've talked about this and we've said maybe 8 hours, because after 8 hours, you know, probably that's when the pain's going to, by then, you would probably be having it. And if you have that drug test within 8 hours, it's probably not because of the scenario that we've suggested. It's probably because you actually had the drug in your system at the time. I think 8 hours, if you have that blood test within 8 hours, probably you had the drug in your system when the injury occurred. So it's much more scientific, more fair, and so I would ask the body to please vote for this substitute amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, do you renew your motion for...
Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The senator from Buchanan renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number... Substitute Amendment Number 2 be adopted. There has been a roll call requested, and there will be a roll call. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from the ninth, what purpose do you rise? Senator from the ninth votes aye. Senator from Lewis. Senator from Lewis votes no. Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes no. Senator from the 14th. Senator from the 14th votes aye. By your vote of 10 ayes and 23 noes, the amendment has been defeated. We are now back on amendment number 2 from the senator from the 7th. Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To speak on the amendment.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Working with the sponsor to try to get us resolution on this particular part of the legislation and believing that he has... getting us a little closer to where we want to go, I ask that my amendment be sent back.
Your amendment will be sent back. We are now back to Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 13. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Please send your
amendment. I move for its adoption, and I would ask that it be read, please. It has not been distributed.
Please send your amendment forward, and are you asking for a waiver?
I am asking that it be read.
You're asking that it be read. It will be read. Senator, you are asking for the adoption of the amendment. Okay. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senators Senate Amendment Number 3, offered by Senator Schatz. Amend Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 113, page 4, section 287.120, line 7, by striking the word, quote, 48, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, 24, end quote.
Senator from Franklin, you move for the adoption. And would you like to proceed with the explanation of that?
Again, we are that is moving it from 48 hours to 24 hours. I think that's a compromise at this point. We've had multiple attempts, and so hopefully this will be one that the body will support.
Thanks, Senator. Any senator desire to be heard on a Senate Amendment Number 3 on the Senator from Franklin? The Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment to the amendment.
Senator, send your amendment forward, and has it been distributed?
It is not. It is short, and I ask that it be read. And I move for its adoption.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment, the substitute amendment.
An amendment back.
Your amendment will be sent back. We are now back on Senate Amendment Number 3, the Senator from Franklin. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th. Senator from the 4th. Senator from the 4th, you yield from an inquiry from the Senator from the 14th.
I do.
Senator from the 14th, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I did want to have a conversation with
sure.
you, and I do want to have it maybe a little bit later. I have this knack of interrupting right in between an amendment. I don't know if the Senator from the 7th has anything planned, but I took my files upstairs, but I wanted to have a conversation with you about what we were talking about at my desk.
Yes.
Because later on, I am going to offer an amendment,
okay.
and it's related to the conversation that I want to have with you. And I think that not only personally, but also professionally, you would want to have this conversation, and it also relates to our president as well.
Okay.
And that's why I want to give a background and an introduction that we're going to have a conversation
good.
Because I am quite worried about employees who have been exposed to radioactive waste. And we just realized over the weekend that our president of the Senate has some of this legacy radioactive waste in his hometown, in his county. So I want to talk about that.
Sounds good.
But I'm going to let this amendment go through. I didn't realize what the senator from the 7th was trying to do. Thank you, Senator.
You're
Thank
welcome,
you, Mr.
Senator.
President.
Thank you.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 3, the senator from Franklin?
Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd, you yield from an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan.
I do.
You may proceed.
Well, you're the other physician in the chamber.
Yes.
And so the question is, for you, is it a real concern that a person would have an injury, have it be that the pain or the suffering from that injury might occur in a delayed fashion, and then at some point cause that person to take a controlled substance to relieve their suffering?
Well, I'm not sure what the delay has to do with it. I guess You know, the wording of the bill is a rebuttable presumption. So the way I look at it, if I injured my knee at work, and let's say it was delayed, and that evening, let's say I injured myself at 3 in the afternoon, that evening around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, I couldn't sleep because there's a lot of pain, and I said, I have some Vicodin left over from my wisdom tooth extraction last year.
Or from your wife's.
Or from my wife's. And so then I took it and I ended up testing positive. The wording is rebuttable presumption. And that is something, you know, the you could go into either your employer or to the judge if it came to that and say, you know, look, this is what I took. My knee was swollen up like a cauliflower. It hurt, and I took the Vicodin, which is hydrocodone, and lo and behold, I tested positive from hydrocodone. I wasn't taking any of that at the time of the injury. I think the ALJ would believe that, and I think that worker would not have his benefits reduced.
You think that you're telling that to the judge would be a preponderance of the evidence?
Well, I think that bringing in that bottle, and it was hydrocodone, and hydrocodone it had a label on the bottle, that was what tested positive in my urine and in my blood. Yeah, I think that probably, plus the testimony, I think that would be worthwhile.
Would you feel comfortable taking in the bottle that your wife gave?
Again, you know, the other thing is, Senator, on the other hand, if it was my urine was positive for cocaine or codeine, LSD, PCP, marijuana, that would be a different story.
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about, you know, your son's Vicodin, and he gave it to you. You went up to him and you said, hey, you got any of that leftover Vicodin? And he goes, yeah, here you go. And he gives you a pill, but you don't have the bottle. I mean, do you think that when you go into the judge and you say...
Well, if you don't have the bill, you can get the pharmacy records from Walgreens. You could get documentation of the prescription from the electronic medical record.
That's fine. But the question is, do you feel comfortable...
And you are talking, Senator, about illegal activities here.
Well,
I'm not
true.
Supposed
That's
to be taking
point.
My mom's Vicodin or my daughter's Vicodin.
Okay, but that's my point. Do you feel comfortable telling the judge in open court that you took your son's Vicodin that he gave you?
Well, sure. If that was, if that became an issue in the case, then you're going to have to do it. I don't think there's a prosecutor in the whole state who would then say, aha, he revealed that he took his son's Vicodin in a workers' comp case, and therefore I'm going to, prosecute him for practicing medicine without a license or whatever. I don't think that's an issue at all. And as I would, on the other hand, I think the employee, the injured party, would have a problem if the thing that tested positive was heroin, then there might be the presumption that the employee was using heroin on a regular basis and maybe was using it at the time of the accident, a rebuttable presumption, maybe one that he could overcome, but something that would be much more difficult to overcome than if it was, the Vicodin that was prescribed to the injured party himself only for a tooth operation as opposed to
you feel
else.
Basically what I heard you say was you don't think that the prosecutor would prosecute anybody for giving them a controlled substance for such a situation.
In the situation we're talking about, I don't think that injured person, I don't think there's a prosecutor in the state who would tell you they would pursue that case.
Okay, do you think that everybody would feel that way and would be willing to say it and have that same degree of confidence?
Again, Senator, we're talking about a preponderance of evidence standard and a rebuttable presumption. The trier of fact is sometimes going to have to make decisions. We're not going to be able to, on the Senate floor, amend our way around to think of every possible exculpatory situation that one might be able to concoct. I think that when we're talking about illegal substances or non-prescribed controlled substances, I have no problem with this presumption being in our statute books. And again, it is a rebuttable presumption that that I think in the leftover Vicodin from the dentist situation, I think the employee would prevail in those cases.
Okay, so do you feel better about the 24 instead of the 48?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably 24 is better than 48. Generally, you're going to be talking about pain medicine, some medicine. I mean, in the innocent situation, a person will have taken a pain medicine. I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of difference, but 24 gets you much closer to the time of the accident, and I think it's probably better than 48.
Okay, on what basis is it better than 48? Just because it's closer to the time of the accident? What's the logic for 24 over 48?
Yeah. I think the further you get out from, see, the question in hand is whether there was likely to have been drug in the injured party's system at the time of the accident. And if you're talking about, say, hydrocodone, and you get out 48 hours, the fact that at the 48-hour point there's hydrocodone in your system, that doesn't reflect hydrocodone usage 48 hours ago. I don't know the exact half-life. The senator from Barry may be able to help us of the exact half-life of hydrocodone or codeine or oxycodone. But I would think the half-life of hydrocodone would be such that hydrocodone detected right now, 48 hours out from the accident, wasn't taken 2 days ago. It was taken in the last 12 to 24 hours. So I think 20, in that sense, 24 hours makes more sense.
So it's that having it closer, having a smaller number is better then. I mean, drawing the sooner that you draw the test, really the better it is as far as showing that it was in their system at the time of the blood test.
Yeah, and of course it would matter. Different drugs have different half-lives, but I think when you get, closer to the time of the injury, it makes it more likely the positive drug test that very drug was in the system at the time.
Well, I noticed that you were opposed to 8 hours, but you're okay with 24 hours, and I'm just curious, since 8 hours is closer to the injury, why is 8 hours bad and 24 good?
Well, I think at some point by that account, make it 20 minutes. Well, unless the drug test was done within 20 minutes of the injury, which it probably almost never will be, then this section's rendered meaningless. So there's just some standard of common sense that it's probably, again, if someone's injured, they're probably going to be seeking medical attention within 24 or 48 hours, but they may not do it within 8.
Well, that was my point, was that if you're concerned about somebody going home and popping a pill, if they do it at 12 hours, because that's how long it took them to start aching, then when you do the blood test at 24 hours, you're catching them and you're hurting them. Because in reality, you've got a rebuttable presumption that they had the drug in their system. They're already going into court with it. Mark against them. They're just assumed guilty, whereas, you know, at 8 hours, they probably aren't going to be hurting. That was my whole point earlier. And so 24 hours
if you have a significant injury that you're going to be going,
going
home,
you know?
And taking opiates for, I assume you'd be hurting within 8 hours, probably immediately.
Well,
but again, someone, you know, you try to shake it off, you go home, it gets stiff, it hurts later. So you're right, the pain could be delayed.
Well, the thing is that this is going to matter to a lot of people over the next 50 years, what we do right here, right now. And if we pass this law and put 24 hours, there's going to be a whole lot more people get denied their benefits than if we put 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours. It's arbitrary no matter what we put. Wouldn't you admit that?
There's some degree of arbitrariness, but I think it is a common sense provision. I just think again we have to use some common sense on both ends. You know, we make it 96 hours, 72 hours. I think it you get to the point that the positive test might be irrelevant. Whereas you make it too short, you make it impractical that anyone is ever going to be caught, if you will, under this scenario. And again, I don't think that it will be hard at all to overcome the presumption when you can walk into court and say, "Look, I've got you know." These aren't civil courts. Legal proceedings in a civil court. This is an administrative law judge. The rules of evidence are relaxed compared to a more formal civil court setting. And I think the injured party who can say, "I was hurting, so I took some leftover Vicodin from my tooth surgery." I think the ALJ will be reasonable, and I don't think they'll lose their benefits under this.
Well, I hope that you're right. I don't have a whole lot of confidence that you are. You know, there's like anabolic steroids that people can take. There's...
Senator from the 7th, I need to say no more, but you're in violation of the Senate rules by standing in front of two colleagues in debate. Senators, you may proceed.
Hey, I know he didn't actually quite break the plane, but he came close. But you wouldn't be able to tell it from the dais. But anyway, there's anabolic steroids, there's Ritalin, Dexedrine, there's Lyrica, there's a whole bunch of controlled substances.
How many people take Dexedrine or Lyrica?
Well, college students do Dexedrine all the time.
Well, yeah, they're abusing drugs, which is the whole point of this statute.
Anyway, Senator, I think that what I've learned from talking to you is that you do have some rationale that you can show for 24 hours, and it's reasonable. But you also admit that it's arbitrary. And, you can choose a number that is sort of in the benefit of the employee, or you can choose a number that is not in the benefit of the employee. And I think that you've admitted to me that this is a real, true concern that I've expressed. So, you know, at least I have to say 24 hours is better than 48, but I don't believe that 24 is good enough, and that's just my opinion. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 3, the senator from Franklin? Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I speak on the amendment.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been listening to the debate, and I understand the issue of debate there, but I think there's something it's actually just as significant that we're not talking about, and that is the additional underlying purpose of this statute. It's not just to determine workers' compensation, but it's also to deter as much as possible the abuse of drugs in the workplace, which endangers not only the employee, but endangers the employee's colleagues. And when we take that broader look at this entire circumstance, one of the things we're trying to do here is to give employees a reason not to abuse drugs, to give them an element of fear. Obviously, corporate policy or company policy or employee policy will play an effect there. It doesn't always reach all the way to the heart of the worker. But if we're working so hard to protect the worker, we may at the same time be compromising the safety of the workers that he's working with. And I believe the 24 hours is a reasonable time period. I believe it gives the worker some protection, but I think it also recognizes that the last thing we want is some crane operator or some other operator of heavy equipment to injure or kill a fellow worker who has no record of drug abuse because we have allowed that time to be too long. So I speak in favor of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Any other senators desire to be heard on Senate Amendment number 3? Hearing none. Senator from Franklin, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
Senator from Franklin renews his motion that Senate Amendment number 3 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, can you lay that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor? If so, I ask the reading be waived and they be printed in the journal.
There is message from the Governor. The reading will be waived and it will be printed in the journal. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Mr. President,
Senator
that is
Cole.
Not accurate. The senator from Andrew was bothering me.
I understand, Senator.
Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House?
Madam
would you ask them to please be read?
Madam Secretary, is there messages from the House? And if so, would you please read the messages?
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 85, entitled An Act Relating to Public Utility Vehicles. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 427, entitled An Act Relating to Trust Instruments. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 336, entitled An Act Relating to Life Insurance. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 58, entitled An Act Relating to Perinatal Care. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 422, entitled An Act Relating to Property Exempt from Execution. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and...
Chamber will come to order. Chamber will come to order. Madam Secretary, please proceed.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bills 337, 259, and 575, entitled An Act Relating to Financial Accreditation Standards for Insurance Companies, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested, respectfully submitted. Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements, and I'd ask you to recognize me for an announcement.
Senator from Cole, the Senate will, hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Senator from Newton might
Senator
have something
Senator from Newton, what purpose you're asking?
Would you please send the gubernatorial appointments to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments?
They will be sent. Senator from Cole.
Are you sure now, Mr. President?
Hopefully, if you're not interrupted by the Senator from Andrews, you may proceed, Senator from Cole.
The hardworking staff in front of you seems to be pleased. Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind the body we are going to come in at 10 a.m. tomorrow. It is only for roll call, introductions if you have some, and to introduce bills, and then we will stop. There will be no business performed past introduction of bills. And I'd also remind senators, if you have something going on in the morning where you can't, we do need 18 roll call in. We have to have a quorum. But if there's somebody stuck somewhere and they come back at the 2 o'clock session, they'll still be counted for the day. Thank you, Mr. President.
Right. Announcements. Back on this. Senator from Andrews, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, just to announce that the Local Government and Elections Committee will meet on morning recess for our normal committee hearing.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Announcements. Announcements. Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
All those in favor of the amendment or of the Senate stand adjourned under the rules, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate is adjourned under the rules.